Well, let's go now to the book of Lamentations. And while you're turning to the Lamentations of Jeremiah, I'll announce my subject tonight. I'll be preaching this evening, verse by verse, from Ephesians 2. Our past, our present, our future, and our foundation. Ephesians chapter 2, the first 10 verses, will be our subject tonight. Now, my text this morning, Lamentation 3, I read this frequently. This is a special scripture to me personally. I hope it is or will be to you. Beginning with verse 21, and I can truly say this is my hope. That's the title of this message. This is my hope. In Lamentation 3, verse 21, the prophet said, "This I recall to my mind, or I make to return to my heart. I dwell on it. Therefore, I have hope. This is my hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his love faileth not." His compassions, his love faileth not. His compassions are brand new every morning. Great is not my faithfulness, his faithfulness. "And the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. He's good to the soul that seeketh him. And it is good," or God will be good, "to the man that both hopes and quietly waits for the deliverance of the Lord." Now, in order to appreciate what he's saying there, we've got to go back and read the early verses. And as I read the first 20 verses, some people say that these words, verse 1 through 20, are the lamentations, not of Jeremiah so much as the lamentations of our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll see that as you read these verses. The cries of Christ, who was made sin for us, who experienced and endured affliction, darkness, the wormwood and the gall, as he bore our sins in his body on the tree, and the Father appearing to be his enemy, appearing to have forsaken him. And some say this is not only the words of Christ, but the words of the prophet himself, Jeremiah. Jeremiah is speaking these words out of his own experience, out of his affliction, out of his conflict and distresses, and that these are the deep feelings of every sinner whom the Lord brings to saving faith. Like the Apostle Paul said, "I'm the chief of sinners." The chief of sinners. The Apostle Paul, the greatest preacher other than Christ who ever lived, said, I'm not worthy to be an apostle. I'm less than the least of all the saints. Oh, wretched man that I am." So these lamentations are the lamentations of Christ. You'll see that as we go through this. But they are also the lamentations and afflictions and distresses and cries of a broken heart over sin. Listen to it. I'm the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. God's wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear, lying in wait, as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as the mark for the arrow. You ever felt that way? He hath caused the arrow of his quiver to enter into my reins, into my innermost being. I was a derision to all my people. Christ experienced that, didn't he? Their song all the day. They made up songs about me. Wicked songs. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He's covered me with ashes. Thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity or good. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Now notice these three verses. Notice them carefully. Remembering my affliction. David said, my sins are ever before me. I was like a beast before thee. What a fool, ignorant. My afflictions, I remember them. My misery, I remember it. The wormwood and the gall, I remember every wicked word, thought, deed, imagination. I remember. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humble. What's the results of remembering our sins and foolishness and evil? It causes our hearts to be humble before God. My soul, my heart is bowed down in me, not able to look up. In verse 21, and this I recall to my mind. I make it return to my heart all that I have been and all that I am and all that God has brought me through in his good providence. But look at these words. Therefore have I hope. I have hope and expectation of life. What is this hope? Well, I tell you, if you can identify with Jeremiah in his convictions, you can identify with Jeremiah in his comfort. So that's the reason I read the first part. If you can take your place with him in that conviction and affliction, you can take your place with him in the comfort and the hope and the consolation. If I can identify with him in his inability, I can identify with him in his blessings and mercies. If I can truly identify with him in his humiliation, I can identify with him in the Lord's exaltation. The Lord giveth grace to the humble. The proud he despises. A proud heart, a proud look goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall. So, if I can, can you? I can identify with him in these times of darkness and affliction and wormwood and gall. I certainly can. And then he comes along and says, I have a hope, a good hope. It was not in himself. He just showed himself. It's not in his merit. He just revealed that he has none. It's not in his works. It's not in his service. It's in his Lord. Look at verse 22. When I recall what I am and who I am and what I've done and what I've gone through, I have hope because, verse 1, verse 22, number 1, it's the Lord's mercies that I'm not consumed. My Lord is merciful. Now listen to me. My Lord is merciful. He's merciful to the miserable. He's gracious to the guilty. He's kind to the unkind and the unlovely. Listen to these verses. Don't turn to them. Psalm 103. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. Slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. That's not us. That's Him. That's not me. I wish it were. Psalm 116. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Be merciful. Psalm 117. For His merciful kindness is great toward us. Great toward us. His merciful kindness. Now this one I wish you would turn to. Micah, the little book of Micah, over here just before Nahum and over by Jonah, Micah, Nahum. You got to read this. This is just such a revelation of the character of our God. While you're turning, let me say this. You know, it's so difficult for us to enter into this, what I'm saying right here. The Lord is merciful, plenteous in mercy, delights to show mercy. Because we just not that way. Our sinful natures find it hard to forgive. God finds it easy to forgive. It's His nature. He loves to forgive. He loves to forget. He loves to be merciful. He delights in it. We have to work at it. We have to work at it. Work hard. I mustn't feel this way. I'm going to make myself feel differently. I must not feel this way. Not God. Not God. Listen. Micah chapter 8. Chapter 7. Micah 7 verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee? Who is a God? Now, you ever notice the world's gods? Now, you stop with me. Hold it right. Just think about the different gods of the world. Some of you are knowledgeable in this area. Down in Mexico and the Yucatan, their gods were snakes. A snake is cruel, venomous, hard. Their gods are like giant eagles with claws. Their gods are sitting up in their temples with a horrible look on their faces. Cruel, mean, vengeful. Just think about it, if you will, just a moment. All the so-called gods of this world are cruel, heartless, demanding, vengeful, evil. Listen to the description of our God. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Passeth by the transgressions of the remnant of His heritage, passes them by. He retaineth not His anger forever because He delighteth in mercy. That's our God. Can you get a hold of that? I want to. He delights in mercy. Back to the text. You know, we come up with so many human reasons why we should doubt God's mercy. Why we should doubt His love? Well, I'm such a great sinner. He pardons the great sinners. The greater the sinner, the greater the glory. But I'm such a weak person. It's not your strength, it's His. When I'm weak, then am I strong. You come to a street crossing, and here is an elderly lady, and she's so timid and shy and weak and old, and she's watching those cars. You just delight to put your arm around her. Isn't that a thrill? And help her across the street. You come to one of those old boys with a muscle shirt on, you know, standing there with his hat on backwards. Standing there, you know, and all, you wouldn't help him, would you even try? I mean, he'd insult you. Our Lord delights to show us. The weaker, the more He delights. Right. I'm afraid I'll fall again. I better not look to Christ's mercy, because I could, you will. That's as certain as the sun came up this morning. You will fail again. But the Lord has no time for folks like me. I told my Sunday school class this morning, the only people who disqualify themselves from God's mercy is those who are unwilling to receive it. Your sins do not disqualify you from mercy. That's what mercy is, mercy for the miserable. Can I tell you again, according to the Scripture, He delights to show mercy. He delights to show mercy. The problem's not with Him, it's with us. Will you trust Him? Will you believe Him? He delights to show mercy. All right, secondly, I have hope because the Lord's merciful. And then I have hope because, verse 22, His compassions fail not. He loves. Mike just sang it, the love of God. How rich, how pure, how measureless, how strong. It shall forevermore endure. The saints and angels' song. God, love is not something God endeavors to do. Love is God. God is love. He is love. You and I try to love. He is love. It's His nature. He never changes. His love fails not. It's a love we're to imitate. Actually, I read this yesterday. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13. This is the love of God. 1 Corinthians 13. And it's a love that we're to imitate. 1 Corinthians 13. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love suffereth long. That's God's love. I know it's the love we're to imitate and the love we're to have, but I just try to love this way. God does love this way. Love is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Love rejoices not in iniquity, it rejoices in truth. And it beareth everything, and believeth everything, and hopeth everything, and endureth everything, and never, never, never fails. That's my Lord's love. That's the reason I have hope. He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. His love is old as the eternities, but it's, listen, it's new every morning. Verse 23, I have hope because the Lord's merciful, the Lord is love, and His love is new every morning. That's the reason I think the prophet told us, the apostle tell us not to let the sun go down on our wrath. Don't mull over it. Don't hold it. Don't let it be there in the morning. Little boy in the first grade held up his paper and he said, can I have a clean paper? I've messed up this one. And his kind teacher came over
with a new clean sheet and said, yes, dear, every day you get a clean sheet. Every day. Why don't we give each other a clean sheet every morning? He does us. That's what he said. He's merciful. And his love is brand new every morning. God holds no grudges. He said, I don't even remember your sins. Wouldn't that be wonderful if someone came to us and said, you remember what so-and-so said? No, I don't even remember. I've forgotten that. I totally forgot. You don't remember what they did? No, I don't remember. Honest, I can't remember. Oh, love of God. My. Well, I ask you this. I will ask you to turn to Matthew 7. This, I think this will reach our hearts a little bit here, because this is... It's not hard for us to forgive our children. It's not hard for us to show mercy to our children. It's not hard for us to let them have a new beginning every morning. And our Lord recognized that in Matthew 7, verse 9. He says, what man is there of you, if his son asked bread, would give him a stone? You wouldn't dare, would you? Or if his son asked a fish, you'd give him a snake? You wouldn't dare. Well, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? The Lord's love. His children, he loves them in Christ. And then thirdly, look at my text again. Why do I have hope? Well, the Lord is merciful. The Lord is love. And the Lord is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. Not my faithfulness. One of the things that we admire most in a person, though, is faithfulness, isn't it? We used to say a promise is a promise. A promise is a promise. We expect it to be fulfilled. Somebody says to us, I'll do a certain thing, and he does it, makes us glad. He's faithful. Person says, I'll be at this place at a certain time, and there he is, faithful. Person says, I'll pay a certain amount, and he does. He's faithful. We can count on him. You can count. There are some people you can absolutely count on their word. They can count on it. They're going to do what they say and be where they promised to be. They're faithful. But not like our God. Great. Unquestionable is his faithfulness. That's the reason I have hope. Because he's faithful. He's faithful to himself. He's not a man that he should lie. He's faithful to his son. His son said, all that my father giveth me will come to me. He's faithful to his purpose, whom he foreknew. He predestinated, whom he predestinated. He called, whom he called. He justified, whom he justified. He will glorify, I promise you. He's faithful to his people. He said, I am the Lord. I never change. Therefore, you're not consumed. The gifts and calling of God are without change. God's faithful. God's faithful. Let me read you a scripture over in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. I never noticed this word here. I've read this scripture, and you have too many times, but I want you to watch this right here. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 21. The prophet said, I have hope because God's merciful. I have hope because God is love. I have hope because God's faithful. In Hebrews 10, 21, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a true heart in full assurance of faith, full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? Because he's faithful. That promise. You see that? Why? How can I hold fast my profession? because I'm doing my best. No, he's faithful. He'll never turn me away. Never cast me out. Look across the page at Hebrews 11:11. Now watch it. You ladies, watch this. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Bob, you see, isn't that precious? You see that, Johnny? Why do I have hope? Because he's faithful. But I hope you'll hold out. I know I'm going to because he's faithful. But keep on keeping on. I will, because he's faithful. Not because I am. He is. He's not going to let me go. Somebody come to take away one of those precious children of yours. They got mama to contend with, and you can't have them. You take me first. And that's the way God says. My children are my children. You ain't touch them. He's faithful. Well, I believe that. You expect the thief on the cross to be in heaven? Well, yes, I do. Why? Because Christ said so. That's why. And that's the only reason. Christ said so. And he said this to you and me. He that believeth on the Son, regardless of his past, present, or future. If he believes on the Son, he has eternal life. You believe that? I do. Why? He said so. He's faithful. Fourthly, I give you this. And I have hope because verse 24, the Lord's my portion. I had a little struggle with this word. We don't use it this way. We use this word in this fashion. We think of it as an allotment. Here's your portion. You get a third, and I get a third, and she gets a third. Or that's your portion. But this is not. This word means inheritance. The Lord is my inheritance. The Lord is my full, sufficient supply. Everything I need, I have in him. Now listen, here's what one of our great writers said. The Lord is the portion of his people, the inheritance of his people, in life, in death, in time, in eternity. All that he is and all that he has is theirs. They're heirs of him. They enjoy him now and forever. Christ is their life. He is their portion, large and full, inexpressibly rich and great. And the full satisfaction of their souls. All they need, they find in him. In Genesis, he said to Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. People in religion talk about pardon. People in Christ talk about the person. People in religion talk about the benefits. People in Christ talk about the being. Having the being, they have the benefits. Isn't that right? People in religion talk about a place. Heaven. People in Christ talk about a presence. A person. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's a person. Somebody wrote a poem. Once it was the blessing, now it's the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it's his word. Once his gifts I wanted, now the giver I own. Once I sought for healing, now for himself alone. Once it was my working, his from now on it shall be. Once I tried to use him, now he uses me. Once the power I wanted, now I want the mighty one. Once for self I labored, now for him alone. Last, the Lord's good. The Lord's good. Verse 25, the Lord's good unto them that wait for him. You remember the psalm we used to say when we were children, Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, come before the Lord with thanksgiving. The last verse in that says, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. He's good. He's good, watch, to them that wait for him. Our God has a time for all things that he does. And his people know that. Our God has a time for all things he does. In the fullness of time, God sent his Son. He has a time for all that he does. And we're willing to wait. Psalm 27, we read it Wednesday night. I would have fainted. I would have quit. I would have given up had I not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. I say, wait on the Lord, and he shall strengthen thine heart. He's good to those that wait on him. And secondly, he's good to those that seek him. They seek him in his word. Seek him in his Son. Seek him in his offering for sin. Seek him in his grace. Seek him sincerely. Seek him continually. They seek him. And then he's good to those. Now watch this. And it's good that a man should both hope and quietly. That word quietly is patiently. Patiently. It's not over. It's not over. Let's quit giving up. I tell you, if I'm in charge, let's all give up. If you're in charge, let's all give up. But we're not. He's in charge. He's working his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth. And I expect, if we expect great things from the Lord, you'll have them. Ask, and you'll receive. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it won't be like that. But it's good for a man to hope and patiently wait. Just wait for the deliverance of the Lord. I say that to all men, to myself and to my preacher brethren and to you and to everybody. Let's wait on the Lord. We don't force these things. Can't make things happen. He makes things happen. We wait on him. Be still. And know that I'm God. Be still. A lady called me the other day from California. She watches our program out there. She and her husband. His name's Vince. Her name is Paulette. They wanted to talk. We talked a long time. She said, I want your more tapes. And I told her about the commentaries. I said, I'd send them. She said, this is all new to us. This study of the Word of God, this faith in Christ, this is new. And she said, I want to talk to some people about baptism and uniting with the church. I said, Paulette, wait. Be still. Listen a little while. Listen a little while. Wait till God speaks. Wait on the Lord. Don't rush. Don't make something happen. He's brought this to pass. Now settle down and listen to his word. Read his word. Wait on the Lord. And act as he gives you his leadership. Isn't that right? Be still. Because it's going to come to pass, isn't it? It's going to come to pass.
in his own time. All right, let's sing 290. Be still, my soul. The Lord's on your side. And he's merciful and he's love and he's good and gracious, faithful, and therefore we have a good hope in him.